There will be times in this life for all of us, and Chris spoke about this a little bit this morning, but there'll be time in this life for all of us as servants of Christ when we will look at our labor and our work and our witness for Christ in this present world to the uninterested and to the apathetic as an exercise in futility. Sometimes we'll look and we'll think nothing's happening, and we witness to someone and we preach to them ad nauseum, and they just don't get it. It's like what Brother Chris said this morning when he taught us the importance of hearing and understanding the Word of God and the necessity of the life of God within us, the Spirit of God within us, if they would hearken to and understand God's revealed will. We need God to be active if we would understand the Word. I need that. This is not a textbook in which I go in and discover truth. It is the Word of God in which truth is revealed to me. We need God to reveal it. Now listen, there may be times in our weakness when we get frustrated. I think Chris used that word this morning. We get frustrated when we witness to lost souls and they have no idea what we are saying. But worse than that, they could care less about what we are saying. They could care less about hearing. Hearing is synonymous with obeying in the Scriptures. In fact, if you look that word up here in the Old Testament, it means to do it, to obey it. And so we'll get frustrated. We tell them the gospel. And I think I keep citing Chris. He mentioned you're telling them something that you have experienced and they don't know it. It's like telling, we talked about it with the young people today. That man in John chapter 9, he was born blind. So if a person's born blind, tell me, how do you describe blue to them? And so when you're talking to someone who's spiritually blind, they're dead in their trespasses and sins, it's very difficult. In those times, it's not difficult to see the terrible effects of the fall, the terrible effects of sin upon the souls of lost and spiritually dead humans. You see that there's no life in them. They can't see the things that you wish so ardently that they could see. Sounds depressing, right? Let's turn the script. Be encouraged, brethren. Ecclesiastes 11. Be encouraged, brethren. Don't let the lack of response from those who you witness the gospel to discourage you. Listen, if our strength fails in the day of adversity, and it may not be entirely apropos in application of that scripture, but if our strength fails in the day of adversity, if our faith fails, our strength is small. Beloved, we must not be weary in well-doing. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, Solomon says this. We'll read 1 to 6. He says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters." It's a strange concept, don't you think? The picture in your mind, you're sowing. Cast means to sow. Cast your corn is what it means, the seed. Broadcast it upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." Do you remember the words, beloved, in regard to casting thy bread upon the waters? Do you remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ after John the Baptist was imprisoned? Go to Luke chapter 7. I'd like to reference this passage to that passage. In the beginning of Luke chapter 7, there was the centurion. And the religious leaders of the town went to Jesus and said, "Listen, this centurion's servant is sick, and he's been so good to us. Can you please come and heal him?" And Jesus said, "I'll go." Well, the centurion found out about it, and he says, "I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof." He said, "Only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, and I give orders, and those orders are obeyed." And he was telling them, listen, this is what great faith Jesus saw in this man, to see that Jesus' orders were obeyed and followed. He says, "I'm a man under authority." He says, "Just say the word, Lord, and I'll believe it." And the Lord did. And the centurion sent back and found that that servant had been healed in that selfsame hour. An amazing story. After that is the story of the widow at Nain, when they were carrying the widow's son to bury him. And Jesus saw the procession, the funeral procession, and he walked over, and the Bible says he just touched the coffin, the bier, and he stood still, and that son rose up, and she gave him back life from death. Great faith in the centurion servant. And it was right after that, John chapter 7, verse 19. I'm sorry, Luke 7, 19. So that rumor of him went forth throughout all of Judea and through all the region. And the disciples of John went. John was in prison, showed him all those things. John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus and saying, "Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" When the men were come unto him, they said, "John Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" And in the same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues before these two disciples of John. And of evil spirits, unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, "Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. "What went ye out into the wilderness for to see?" And this is going to be in context with what we're going to see in a moment. "What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. And the Lord said," and here's what I wanted to get to, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like?" Now think about casting your bread upon the waters. "They are like unto children," that is the men of this generation, "sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, We have piped unto you and you have not danced. You have not responded. We have mourned to you and you have not wept." And here Jesus cites two different men came preaching to you repentance. One was an austere man, a very strict man. He was out in the wilderness, and his message was fly from the wrath to come. The second man is me, Jesus. And the second man came unto you, companying with you, eating and drinking with you, different types of men. But you wouldn't receive the message either way. He said, "John came neither eating nor drinking wine, and you say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking. You say, Behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. which was an accurate accusation, by the way. But wisdom is justified of all her children. So they would not respond. It did not matter. The gospel went forth, whether it came from John the Baptist or whether it came from the Lord himself. The seed was cast and it was despised. And so I wanted to show you that in regard to what it says there in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. But again, beloved, be encouraged, for Solomon teaches us the wisdom of God. Look again at Ecclesiastes 11. Go back there. Let me show you something. Solomon's teaching us something in the wisdom of God. So if you go back to Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 1, notice there's the promise. Cast thy bread upon the waters. Don't withhold it, for thou shalt find it after many days. There will be returns of that bread. Look at verse 4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. In fact, I wanted to show you verse 3. If the clouds be full of rain, what do? They empty themselves. And so Solomon's teaching us to be like the clouds. When you're full of the matter, you need to empty out. You need to be full. And so that's what Solomon's teaching us. And then in verse 5, in verse 6, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. So, beloved, our part is to be faithful gospel witnesses, liberal, generous in our families with the good seed of the word of God. You're not wasting your seed. Cast your bread upon the waters. It may disappear. You may never see it again. You might say this is an exercise in futility. You might say I'm frustrated. Nothing's happening. Something's happening. Something's happening. God is doing his work. And Solomon uses the example of, you can't see the bones of a baby growing in the womb, but it's happening. And soon, guess what? A birth. And so that's what happens by the Spirit of God. As thou knowest not the way of the Spirit, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Beloved, we must not be weary in casting our bread upon the waters. Trust the Lord, beloved, with those upon whom you have sowed the good seed. Listen, the seed is good. It's going to fall on the wayside sometimes. The wayside is not good ground. The wayside is hard. There's nothing wrong with the seed. The fowls of the air is going to come pick it up. It's going to fall upon the stony places. It's going to fall among the thorns. Some of it's going to fall on good ground. And it's going to take root, brethren, and it's going to bring forth fruit unto life. So be liberal. Our part is to be faithful. This is a good use of the word liberal. It means to be generous with the seed. You're not wasting your time. Don't ever think you're wasting your time to take an opportunity to cast some seed upon the waters. Look at Isaiah 55. You know this passage, 55:10. You know it, but I'll turn there and read it to you. Isaiah 55:10. We really have to read verse 8, 2, and 9. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, just like the refreshing rain. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Beloved, trust the Lord with those upon whom you have sowed the good seed of the word. Don't despair. Don't grow weary because you have not experienced the good returns of your work and your labor. And listen, don't discriminate in your witness. You know what it means to discriminate in your witness? You look for an amiable path and someone who you think will receive the word. So we discriminate. I'm not going to talk to them because they don't look like they would receive it. I'm going to talk to them because they look like they will. No, don't discriminate in your witness. Don't try and find sinners that look to you like they will hear. Every lost soul is qualified for the gospel. Every lost soul is an opportunity, brethren. Your part is to witness to them the word of God regarding their condition before God. It's God's business to give the increase. It's our part to tell them about the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not my job to convince them. Listen, I'm going to bring forth my strong reasons, and you should too. You should do your best to convince them that Jesus is the Christ. Paul did that, opening and alleging that Jesus is the Christ. We should be zealous. We should have what we understand about Christ. We should bring forth our strong reasons. But ultimately, God must give the increase. And we need to be satisfied with that. Listen, don't think just because you've not reaped that you are wasting your time or your energies. We are promised that we shall find, we shall see the returns of our labors after many days. In fact, in the chapter that we're in, this just came to mind, 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, you know this. It's the last verse of that chapter. Paul tells the Corinthian church, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, after he talks about death is swallowed up in victory, death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. He's talking about the wonderful gospel and our hope of eternal life. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Work for as much as you know that your labor, you are to be laboring, beloved, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So cast thy bread upon the waters. Thou shalt find it after many days. Listen, I love what the prophet Isaiah wrote. Go to Isaiah chapter 32. I love what Isaiah wrote. Isaiah 32. This entire chapter, I wanted to read the whole chapter, but I'm not. But this entire chapter is excellent. It talks about the king shall reign in righteousness and princes shall rule in judgment. Verse 1 and 2, and a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And notice, and Chris talked about this morning, but here in this picture of the church, it says, and the eyes of them that see shall not be dim. They'll see the truth. And the ears of them that hear shall hearken. You see that? That's really good. But down to verse 17, the prophet here says, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places, when it shall hail, coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in the low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass to plow, that sow beside all waters, brethren. All waters. Sow the seed beside all waters. Preach the gospel to every creature. Be liberal, or as it means, generous with the good seed. Some believe all waters means to the multitudes. Take every opportunity, brethren, to witness the wonderful gospel of Christ. Psalm 126 and verse 5. Psalm 126 and verse 5. Be encouraged, brethren. Listen, it is profound what God is doing, not in the sight of our eyes. See, we want to see. And because we can't see with these eyes, we think God's not doing anything. God's not active. God is working. Beloved, our part is to be faithful witnesses faithful preachers of the word of God. Look at Psalm 125, verse 5, 126, I'm sorry. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. So there's one necessary component of your sowing. You need to water that seed with your tears and prayer. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So, beloved, sow beside all waters. Preach the gospel to every creature. Thou shalt find it after many days. Be liberal. Be generous with the good seed. Now go back to Ecclesiastes, and we'll finish this out. Just a few more comments on verses 2 to 6, the book of Ecclesiastes. So Solomon says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. He says, give a portion to seven and also to eight. And basically that give a portion means be generous. And why be generous? Take every opportunity for generosity, for kindness, to show forth your Christianity. Why? For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Don't miss an opportunity to witness. Don't miss an opportunity to be generous, because the evil days may come when you can't. You can no longer do it. Withhold not good, Proverbs 3. Withhold not good to them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when you have it by you right now. Beloved, we need to be generous. Give a portion to seven, also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. And then there's the example. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves. So if you're full, empty yourselves. Be liberal, God says, and see if I will not dump the windows of heaven and bless you. So it's interesting, though, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And then why does he say this about the tree? If the tree fall to the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. I think the illusion of a tree falling is you got to do what you can do now. Because when the tree falls, it's an allusion to death. It's the end of your life. And where the tree falls, that's where it lies. Everything's done. If it falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Everything stops there. He says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Let me show you Luke 6:38. Turn back there. Luke 6:38, and then we're going to go to Nehemiah, and then we'll pretty much be done. In regard to being like full clouds, you know when the clouds are full, they get gray, and then they get dark gray, and then they burst. And so here in Luke 6:38, the Lord says, give and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So give, beloved. The liberal soul, the proverb says, generous means the liberal soul shall be made fat. And so God will bless you. That's how you get more, because you give. I want to give more. I want to give my stuff. Lord said, I'll give you more to give. And so, beloved, that's how we should be. We should be like the full clouds that are emptying themselves. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and to him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. I love that passage. It's not as you did to them. It's as you would that people should do to you. So you can look at somebody and say, you know, I wish he'd be kind to me as you would that men should do to you. And God's telling you, as you would that that would be, that's how you should be. Do ye even likewise to them. With this good measure thought, look at Nehemiah 8, the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. when Nehemiah taught the people, the Treshatha, the governor, Ezra, the priest, the scribe. They read verse 8 in the book of the law of God distinctly, precisely. They gave the sense, verse 8, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Treshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. They hadn't heard it in so long. And then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet. And notice, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so we see that principle there. And now back, we'll close back to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 11. It's also instructional. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, beloved, we need to cast our bread upon the waters. We know not the way of the Spirit. We don't know how the bones do grow in a womb of her that is with child. And we don't know the works of God. Solomon talks about this more than once. We need to trust the Lord. In the morning, sow thy seed. Verse 6. And in the evening, withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. And so, brethren, cast thy bread upon the waters. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You're not throwing out seed to no avail. God's word will accomplish the purpose that you've sent it. So trust the Lord, brethren. Weep over your seeds and your witness for Christ. We've seen God do things just in the Duhon family alone, in our own families, brethren, when we have that little light and glimmer of hope, when we can talk to our loved ones about the gospel of Christ, we need to rejoice in that. God is working. This thing's not over yet. Don't give up hope. Thou shalt find it after many days. And so in his time, as we read, God makes all things beautiful in his time. Amen. Let's dismiss in prayer. Father, we thank you, O God, for this passage in Ecclesiastes. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Lord, sometimes I think it's easy to get up and preach this, but Father, help us, help me to practice it, Lord. Help me to think this way. I think of the message last week of thinking and speaking. Oh God, I pray that, Father, our minds would be renewed in the Spirit of God, Lord, and that we would put off the old thoughts, Father, that we would put on the new man. Help us, Lord, to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Help us, Father. We're very needy people. We rejoice at what you've done. We know not what is on the morrow. Help us to focus on these things. These things give us joy. Father, it rejoices our souls to know the truths of the kingdom and to be encouraged that the seed of the word, Lord, our witness is going to return. We're going to see the returns of it, Father. It's a promise. We don't know how it'll fall out, but we know, Father, you'll accomplish your purposes. It makes us rejoice. Father, help us not to get caught up in politics and things like that. Oh God, help us to be immersed in the kingdom of God, in that heavenly city. Father, in the presence of Christ, which is where we desire to be. Oh God, Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Oh Lord, help us to press toward that mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Help us, Heavenly Father. And we give you all the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
It did? It stopped?
Yeah, we were watching you. We were trying to get your attention.
Oh, we got that.